This week we have had the opportunity to meet with veterans in all walks of life in our county. And the sermon this morning is moved by that contact with those men and women who have served so diligently among us. It is a way of our acknowledging them, but also to come before the Lord and thank Him for the freedoms that we have, especially the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been made truly free. Hear the Word of God from 1 Peter and chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 1 through verse 17. This is speaking, Peter is speaking to these believers about who you are as a Christian. He is encouraging a group of Christians who have been challenged by this world. Many of them who are undergoing much suffering for the sake of Christ and challenges to their faith. And Peter seeks to remind them of who they are in their suffering and in their challenges of life. And he reminds them that there's a temptation under that suffering to respond the way of the world to suffering. But he calls them as Christians to remember who they are in Christ and to respond the way Christ has left them an example to respond. So the Apostle Peter reminds them of who they are and reminds them of how they are to conduct themselves in the place that God has put them. Hear the Word of God. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. For what reason? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Why? So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should be put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. And this call to you as a believer to remember who you are in Christ, then this morning we select the verse of Scripture here that would speak to our hearts. And it says, live as people who are free. And as you live as people who are free, not using your freedom, in verse 16, as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Our freedom in Christ has been truly given to us and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you and I as believers might be His servants in this world, freely liberated, freely to do His will in this world. You have been brought from slavery into a position of freedom, but then your heart freely gives your heart to Christ and you serve Him only as your Lord and Savior. Freedom is a word that that people use a lot. People, if you were to ask them, are they free? They would say, yes, I am a free person. I live in a free land. Well, what does freedom mean to you? Well, freedom, you know, means in the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights to life and liberty and pursuit of happiness. You see, that for me is freedom, one might say. Another might say, you see, it's freedom. It's freedom of free expression. It's freedom of religion. It's the right to bear arms and protect my home and my family. You see, we are a free people and we believe these principles of freedom. And some people today, as you well know, define liberty and freedom in a different way. Well, I'm free to do what I want to do. And no one tells me when to do it and how to do it. I'm a free person. And therefore, I live for myself and I live in freedom. Well, exactly how does Scripture define freedom? Yes, all those principles are noble, aren't they? Noble principles in the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Noble, noble principles. And I'm so grateful that our forefathers had the foresight and the leading of God to understand and know them and incorporate them in the people that we are in this land. Praise be to God for common grace and for His work in the life of our nation. I hope that we are grateful this morning. One of the purposes of this sermon is for you to renew your sense of gratitude and heart for the things that God has given you, not only in this land by His grace, but the freedom that He has given you through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you will have hearts that magnify Him, and as the Scriptures say, that we sing a new song unto Him for the liberty that He has given us. You see, the Christian has a little bit different notion of freedom. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to many of the Hebrew people. He is talking to the children of Abraham. And they are debating with Jesus their right to be called as children of Abraham. And you know Jesus has an encounter with them. By heritage, they did claim the rights and freedoms of the life of Abraham. But Jesus, when He comes as the Son of God, finds what? He finds something else in their heart. And He questions them about being the children of Abraham. As a matter of fact, when He discovers the iniquity in their heart, He says, actually, you're not children of Abraham. You are children of your father, the devil. You see, there are people who can claim a certain heritage by birth, by citizenship. And they can claim the heart of those principles to exercise those freedoms that they have, but in their heart, they may not be a free people at all. Amen? People may use their freedom as a covering for evil to do what they want to do rather than to do what God has called them to do. They see their freedom in a different context than the Christian. The Christian sees the context of his or her freedom in the light of Jesus Christ to do what God has called them to do, to be His servants in the world. Some people have a view of freedom that I will do what I want to do when I want to do it, as long as I want to do it, and no one will stop me. I suggest to you that a person that has that understanding of freedom may not be free at all, even though for a time they may enjoy advantages. True. They may for a time enjoy those advantages of that freedom. But in their heart of hearts, they are not free. Let me read you a passage of Scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Jesus is in discussion with these. And in John, chapter 8, verse 31, John writes in this encounter of Jesus, so Jesus, in verse 31, the Word of God, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. Is that a true statement? No. This is what they thought, though. We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave. Everyone who practices sin is a slave. The slave does not remain in the house forever. You see, they have the advantages. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because My word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have been with My Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. And may God then add His blessing to the reading of His holy and precious word with regard to Jesus' understanding of freedom. What are the two things that make a person free? Well, not just simply because we're declared to be citizens of a certain land, entitled to certain privileges. Yes, grateful to God for those things. But does it go far enough? No, it doesn't go far enough. It objectively proclaims those freedoms that all men should enjoy. But my dear friends, with regard to human nature, Jesus Christ, do you see it in an elementary way? Jesus goes beyond the surface things. From being children of Abraham to what? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. He was able to see their heart and where they were spiritually. And they claimed to be free. But there was a certain blindness in which they were not free. And so the first thing that our Lord Jesus Christ says, which I love in this passage in John 8, was that our Lord Jesus Christ, He frees us from ignorance, doesn't He? Now, you may not think that that's simple, but it really is. It really is a magnificent thing. And when I say that He frees us from ignorance, I don't mean to be insulting. I just mean to express in an intelligent way that there was a certain blindness by which the world lays upon people and an inability to see spiritually where they really are. And Jesus, in the wonder of His grace, comes and liberates us from that darkness and that blindness and that lack of understanding of who we are. Isn't that true? You are my disciples, what? If you abide in my word, you shall know the word, and the word shall set you free. Isn't the word of God a tremendous revelation of all the things that we need to know about who we are and our existence? Isn't it true that God has set us free from ignorance and blindness? And if a person is to be free truly in this land today and in this world, they need to know Christ Jesus, don't they, and His Word. They need to know that Word above every word. And it is the means whereby God's Spirit uses to speak to us about our nature and our need, and especially concerning how we are to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall know the Word, and the Word shall set you free. You see, these who claimed to be children of Abraham did not take to their heart the Word of Abraham that was given to him, which was the Word of God. They did not take it, even though they enjoyed the advantages of being called children of Abraham. You see, that should give us caution, shouldn't it? Even as Christians, we claim to know Christ. It should give us a sense that maybe not all know Christ from the heart and has had that blindness lifted from their eyes. Not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, are of God. And my dear friends, how often the church and how often spiritual things have been used by the world to cover really a lack of understanding and blindness to what the truth is. Jesus, when He sets you free, you are set free by the Word of God. Well, that highlights the importance of God's Word in our life, doesn't it? An encouragement to be in the Word, to know the Word. A Christian who says, I have no interest in the Word of God, but yet claims freedom in Christ, doesn't really understand, do they? They don't understand the root of what God has given whereby they might be free. Think about this, that as you have been saved and you have come to know Christ by His grace in this way, through the Word and through the work of the Spirit in the gospel, my dear friends, has not the Word of God been liberating in your life? I mean, as you've continued to grow in your sanctification, hasn't the Word of Christ been more liberating and more liberating and more liberating in your heart? Yeah, because it grows. It grows, and the knowledge of the Lord grows. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you realize that indeed you have been made free and of who you are. The second thing that it means to be free is that we are free. We are freed by Christ from sin and its domination. Jesus said, if I shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That word of Christ is one of the most powerful little verses that is expressed in all of Scripture. Because it sets the foundation for freedom in who? It sets the foundation of freedom, true freedom, in the person of Christ Himself. And why is that so? Well, it is so because you and I were already under the bondage of sin and its consequences. And it says here, He says to these Hebrews, He said, whoever sins is a slave to sin. Isn't that right? So in our world today in which we claim so much freedom, spiritually, there may not be that much freedom at all, actually, if it is judged by Jesus' definition of freedom. For sin is rampant. It is rampant in our land. And when a people begin to love sin more than they do their land and the principles on which it is founded, and they love sin and their way of life more than they do God, my dear friends, there's a bondage. There is a bondage present like you have never, ever seen before. Yet the contradiction, we claim to be free. The one who sins is a slave to sin, not free. And Jesus, therefore, in Him, you see that bondage and that dominion of sin is broken through the cross of Christ. He and He alone was the one and only one that was able to break that dominion and set us free. Once you were in sin and the bondage of sin, but God, being rich in mercy, is a way of expressing, made you free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you permit me to add that word that's not there? Another way of expressing it. In Christ, you have been liberated. You have been delivered from ignorance and the disposition of the world that moves upon its own presuppositions and its own way of life and determining and justifying itself by the way it lives. Advocated oftentimes by those who are in authority. May God have mercy upon us that we don't have eyes that are open to see and hearts to recognize that there are a great many who need freedom. And yet in their blindness, they think they have it, but not in reality. And we might say that a person who enjoys freedom in this land without the heart of being liberated in these areas that we've talked about, that Christ liberates us in, my dear friends, let me ask you about that freedom. Is that freedom that they temporarily enjoy, will it last? Only for a season. That's why it's so important that we recognize the Scriptures, and we need to remind people even in the world that if they do have what they call a general freedom, that what? They have a responsibility to that freedom. They have a responsibility to exercise that freedom in a responsible way. We can say that even to unbelievers as citizens of the land, can't we? Can we say that? That justly, that if you are a free person in this land, you have a responsibility to those freedoms under which you have been called and found yourself in a land of freedom. You don't have the liberty to do just anything you want to. That, as a matter of fact, the wise citizen of the land is the citizen who recognizes the deep, deep principles and freedoms to which they have been given and the price that has been paid in order to enjoy those general freedoms. And we call them to an obligation to use that freedom in such a way that they promote the good of the citizenry, that they promote the good of their neighbor, and that they use those basic foundation freedoms as an opportunity to do good and to do right, not for self-interest and not for promotion of glorifying myself. My dear friends, that's where we have come to in a nation. Sometimes people have enjoyed the freedom of this land and those great principles that our early founding fathers established in this land, but they have taken those principles of freedom, and when it comes down to it, you see that in the final exercises of those freedoms, they actually are trying to draw power and influence and acknowledgement to themselves. We don't know anything about that politically and lately, do we? People who are self-interested, drawing interest upon themselves, making themselves wealthy, doing those things that promote themselves rather than the good. How many times have I said, oh God, when will we have leaders that will seek Your honor and the honor of the citizens whom they serve? God, have mercy upon us. You see it, don't you? the need to be set truly free by Christ from our ignorance and our blindness, and then from our own bondage and sin. How sad it is when you see people in a nation who have enjoyed such good things and to abuse them in the way that they've abused them. I pray that God will call you as Christians to recognize the foundation on freedom on which you stand in Christ. That you have double freedom, don't you? As a matter of fact, it's little freedom in this wonderful land, but then you have freedom in Christ. And when you have been made free in Christ, Jesus says, if I shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's true, my friends, because the Word of God proclaims it. And I mean that you are really free. I don't mean that you're partially free or have certain few advantages, but in Christ, you have been truly set free to those things that have been bondage to us, that limited us, that caused us to cause God's displeasure. You and I in Christ have truly been set free. And guess what? In that freedom, think about the liberation of that in the heart. One comes to Christ for the forgiveness of sin and to be removed from that number that are counted in bondage. Think about that Jesus has set you free. Not my sin in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Free. You are free in Christ. And I want you to know how liberating that is, because have you lived a life in which there's a lot of stuff in your life? Sometimes I don't like to go back and look at my life that way, because there's been a lot of stuff. Has there been a lot of stuff in your life that you're not happy about? That you know that displeased God and you know that ought not to have been there? My dear friends, isn't it great to know that in the arms of Christ, all of that stuff, all of it that so pains our heart to think about, that that's where our life used to be. Isn't it a wonder when we see the arms of Christ take all of that upon Himself? Our sins were laid upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Can I put it another way? That our sins have been laid upon Him, and you have been what? You have been set free. Oh, don't you see? You've been set free. You, as a believer, have been set free. And you are the only ones. Whoa. Wait a minute. Pastor, you mean believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in all the world in which we live, are the only ones that are free? Yes. You and you only. Do you think that that carries with it a great responsibility? Oh Lord, not anything in us. Not anything in us. Lord, I don't know why You saved me. Lord, I don't know why You set me free, because I remember the way I used to live. But, oh God, I do know Your Son, Jesus Christ, and He has set me free. Lord, in this freedom, what would You have me do? And Jesus, through His servant Peter, comes and says to these Christians, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but rather as bondservants of the Lord. Use your freedom wisely. Be people of prayer. Be people who are willing to serve your Lord who has set you free. Use that which God has given you in this world and set you free too for His glory. You have been set free to serve the Lord who has set you free. That means that, but to be free in Christ, there were those disciples who came to the Lord and said, Lord, who's going to be first in your kingdom? And Jesus, you remember, he said unto them, it is not for me to give place in the kingdom of God, but he who would be first among you must be what? Last. And what was Jesus meaning? He was meaning that those who are truly free and those who are truly my disciples whom I have set free will be your servants. They will be the ones that will take the things which I have set them free for and give them to, and they will use those things for my glory and my honor and your service in their whole life. They will give themselves away for the sake of their Savior who set them free. He who loses his life for my sake shall find it. But he who takes his life and lives it in his own understanding, what? He will lose it. Oh, don't we hear the word? Don't we hear it? Of the importance of being free in Christ. Now, my prayer is that you are free in Christ and that you see it. And that you know who you are as a Christian. And you know what God has called you to. Because, dear friends, there's one thing that I've learned throughout the whole Scripture about those who have been set free in Christ and who are His servants. There is no circumstance in their life in which that freedom will ever be taken away from them. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor things created, nor things under the earth or above the earth. No, I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God and our freedom, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. He is the one that has set His children free from their ignorance and from their bondage to sin. Don't you pray for a nation? Don't you pray for a nation that they might know that freedom? Think about it. If we had servants who understood that kind of freedom, wow, what a difference it would make, wouldn't it? What a difference it would be in our churches. We understood what God has called us to. Well, we're going to stop right there because I didn't get a chance to move to the second part of how a Christian might serve God. And I want to do that sermon next week. I met a gentleman yesterday who has served our nation. Did you know that Samaritan's Purse has a veterans ministry that heals our veterans and helps our veterans from a Christian point of view? It is called Operation Heal Our Patriots. They operate out of Samaritan's Purse here in Boone. They have a retreat center in Alaska in which they take many of our veterans and they take them to Alaska. And they allow the family and the wife or the husband or the one who served, and they put them in a context and they provide everything that they need in order that they might rebuild relationships. I didn't realize that Samaritan's Purse had that ministry. Again, it is called Operation Heal Our Patriots. Now, let me tell you about the quality of the leadership of that ministry and that program. Yesterday, Brigadier General Jim Walker, Brigadier General in the Marine Corps, who is retired after 33 years, is the executive director of Operation Heal Our Patriots. 33 years of experience. Listen to this. After General James Jim C. Walker graduated from Clemson University, now don't hold that against him, graduated from Clemson University with honors in May 1976. He was commissioned a lieutenant of Marines. During his 33 years of service in the United States Marine Corps, General Walker served in various command and staff positions around the world. His final military assignment was in the Pentagon as the senior military attorney for the Marine Corps. In that position, he supervised nearly 1,000 attorneys and support personnel around the world. General Walker and his wife Nancy have been married for 35 years and live in Boone, North Carolina. And Brigadier General Jim Walker has graciously consented to be our new executive director for Samaritan's Purse in Operation Heal Our Patriots. Wow. Now, I didn't mean to end the sermon quite that way. But the sermon next Sunday is going to be some of the things that I listened to yesterday and got to know Jim just a little bit and talk with him. And I was so very impressed. And the sermon next Sunday will be for Christians who have been set free. How do I serve the Lord? How do I serve the Lord as a good soldier of the cross? And I'm just going to share with you some things from Scripture that Jim shared with us. And I hope you don't mind me doing that, but I want to give him credit now. Because I was so very moved by the Holy Spirit, and I was moved in my heart by His love for the Word and His love for the Lord and the seriousness of the position that He has had in the United States Marines. I think that you will enjoy it too. So may the Lord be with you. People set free? People set free. Is that something to be thankful for? Yes, you can eat a good meal off that. And you can enjoy it to its fullest. Amen? Amen. May God be with you. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us as a nation. Father, we know that it is your hand that has been upon us. How could we have come this far if not you had been with us? We thank you for your long suffering, O Lord, and patience with us. We thank you that in this land, Lord, we still have, Lord, not as so many proclaim today, freedom from religion. And that's the principle that is being advocated this day, Lord. But we thank you that we still have freedom of religion. How we need to return to that foundational principle in Christ. But, Lord, we know that even if the nation does not return even to the principle of freedom of religion, we know that your children have already been set free. And the world and no nation can change that. Lord, we pray that you would be with your church and your people whom you've truly set free. And we pray that you would help us to live out our life in such a way that would honor you and show gratitude to our God who has made us free. Lord Jesus, we love you. We can hardly comprehend that work you have performed in our hearts and our life to know you and to know where we're headed in our life in this land and to know where we're headed ultimately in eternal presence with you, a freedom that will last forever. Father, thank you wherein you have made us free through your Son, Jesus Christ. Him we will glorify, you we will honor, and we will bless the Holy Spirit as long as we live in eternal gratitude for our freedom. For this we give you thanks in Jesus' name.